Bullet. Hello, Schmuffcast. I'm your host, Sensei Pong. Welcome to the first ever episode of a new Mostly Shoot 'Em Up podcast covering everything that's shmup news. This includes mostly bullet hell, Danmaku stuff, as you could probably guess, classics and retro stuff, twin stick shooters, maybe some running guns, and then maybe some like rail shooters or like light gun stuff, kind of like a Time Crisis or Star Fox thing. Maybe Wing Commander for all you older audiences out there. But basically, that's shoot 'em up related or bullet hell related. Hopefully, I mostly stay on topic. Now, when I do say monthly podcast, I'm most likely going to make this a bi-monthly podcast, which means like every other week. Who knows? I might even make this a possibly weekly podcast, but no promises there. With that, what's the format of this podcast going to be? Because this is the first episode, you should probably know. This episode specifically, I'm just going to be covering the news real fast just to see kind of how long the recording is going to be, because I don't want these podcasts to be like super long. I kind of want to hit that golden period of being like an hour to maybe an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. It's just really kind of dependent. Because if you know me from my previous podcast, I have a tendency to ramble and I have a tendency to go into detail and kind of possibly go into like I also have a problem speaking. I tend to go on tangents quite a bit, and you know, little anecdotes here and there and whatever, but you know, hopefully I can stay mostly on topic. And now here's the funny thing, I actually ran kind of like a little test run podcast here like a little bit ago, like a few days ago, but I was thinking to myself, I was like, okay, well, you know, Let's really focus in and like just choose one very specific topic, because there's no feasible way I could possibly ramble for, you know, 2 hours all just about shmups, can I? Oh, was I wrong? Oh, I was wrong, so freaking wrong. But now here's the question. Here's the question you're probably thinking to yourself. If you do know me from my previous material, you're probably thinking to yourself, well, Sensei, why so specific? Why shmups? Why a shmupcast? Okay, so here's the thing. Now, originally my idea for creating a new podcast was going to be like, oh, well, I can just focus in on handheld gaming. What I wanted to do was kind of focus in on like one specific area of like the gaming industry, maybe like one specific thing I know really well. And I do know my handhelds really well, like both retro and new stuff. I've got a Switch. I was a big PSP fan when that was a thing. I love the 3DS, all that sort of stuff. Always have been kind of like leaning towards handhelds, mostly because of that. Not so much, well, portability plays into a factor, but it's mostly like just kind of like, oh, what's that word? It's not accessibility, it's not like availability. It's just how easy it is to pick up a game and play it anywhere you want. And I like that feature. And anytime a good shmup or like a run and gun would come to like a handheld, it mostly came in to play with like the newer stuff. Because, of course, you know, I'm from the States, so I didn't have a WonderSwan growing up. That would be ridiculous. But whenever that kind of stuff would come around, I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing ever. Now, I do play, obviously, console, and I do play on my PC, but I honestly, at this point in my life, I live a very busy life, so it's just kind of, like, hard to, like, necessarily make time to sit down on my PC and play something. But here's the thing, it's like, also, when I do sit down on my PC, it's like, anytime I sit down on my PC, it's like, I feel like I should be doing something more productive with my time, like, I should be working on my computer, or if I do come to the computer to play a game, it's more like, oh, well, I kind of want to play something that's more specifically focused into, like, what the PC excels at. So I might pick up, like, a strategy game like Civilization or, like, Galactic Civilizations or some sort of, like, simulation game that actually just works 10 times better on a PC than it does on a handheld or a console. So, you know, it's just one of those kind of things. Europa Universalis, that's the perfect example right there. But if you don't know that, obviously Civilization. Forget Civilization Revolution, that doesn't count. Now, anyways, back on track here. Why so specific? Well, so If you don't know me from before, I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I've stated this on the Sensei podcast too, because I'm allowed to listen to podcasts while I work. And I work an almost full-time job, you know, an almost like full week of hours. So realistically, I consume, on average, maybe about 30 hours of podcast material a week. That is insane. So I burn through podcasts like no other. I listen to a bunch of them. And I was thinking to myself, like, you know, a few months ago, I was like, man, I wonder if there's a good shmupcast out there. There's gotta be. There's gotta be, like, that one podcast that's so, like, shoot 'em up specific. But there isn't. There really isn't. And there's a really good one. And the only problem for me is that it's all in French. It's shmup 'em all. Now, they do have run their own website, and it's a great news source for shmup specifically. But that's also in French. And I was like, huh, okay. And I also did find some other shmup casts out there, but it was in Spanish. And I'm pretty sure I found, like, a Japanese one as well. And I was thinking to myself, well, obviously there's an audience out there. Maybe, you know, maybe I should start my own shmup cast. I do love shmups, and I do pay attention to the shmup news. So it's one of those things that, you know, I saw a hole, and I tried to fill it. And that's also how I have my kids. No, that's a terrible joke. No worries, though. This is a mostly family-friendly podcast. Anywho, that's basically why. And if this gains, you know, some sort of, like, steam or, like, some sort of audience, so that'd be great. That's awesome. And hopefully I can get better at my job as time goes on. That'd be great, wouldn't it? We can all, like, have, you know, wistful dreams and unobtainable goals of, like, the sensei actually being a good podcast host. That's I hope that's not out of the question, right? Anyways, basically that's what it is. You know, I was thinking we need a good English speaking podcast that's specifically about shmups, and there was none. So I was like, dag nabbit all, I'm gonna just start up one myself. I'm the shmup man. And well, at least within my own personal circle, I'm the shmup guy. Because, oddly enough, where I'm at, I don't know that many people that are, like, crazy big on, or hardcore into shmups. It's, like, only people online, and it's, like, all the big shmup fans are elsewhere. I don't know why. Maybe it's a cultural thing, like, a subcultural thing, right here, specifically, in my, like, little hobunk town, but whatever. You know, who cares? It's all the same. Anywho, with that, like I said, this is probably going to be a monthly podcast. And I apologize for rambling on about this. This is the first episode, so I was just thinking maybe we should go over some of the introductions on what this podcast is going to be like. Some of the other kind of topics we will be covering for, like, other types of episodes that isn't news specific. I'll have a topic of the hour or whatever we want to call it, topic of the hour. Maybe do some reviews. We'll see. Maybe I can do some, like, deep dives or, like, reviews into, like, games that have come out recently or will be coming out recently, that sort of thing. But now you may be thinking, okay, well, if you're new to shmups, you can be thinking to yourself, what kind of topics are you going to be talking about, Pong? Well, actually, believe it or not, I actually have a pretty good list of topics I could talk about at this point. And it's, like, everything from, like, little arguments I see online. I don't really interact with anybody online in terms of the hardcore shmup audience. Obviously, that's probably going to be changing as this podcast grows or keeps on going, because I'll probably actually start posting things on shmup forums or on Reddit more. I don't think I ever have. I'm not sure. I don't think I ever have. Let's keep it at that. I don't think I ever have. I don't talk to people. Leave me alone. okay, I'm not that much of a recluse, but I don't know. I do have quite a bit of topics that we could discuss. It even goes into, like, find the fun little retrospectives and little, maybe little history dives on, like, the history of a series or the chronology of, like, a company's, you know, games over the years. Like, obviously, Cave would be a topic. That's definitely going to be a heavier topic, and I definitely need to play. I haven't played enough Cave games. If you don't know who Cave is a major developer. If you're really into, like, shmups and all that, you probably already know who Cave is, and they're probably, like, your favorite company out there in the world. But this, I don't know who my audience is here, so give me a break. If it feels like I'm just kind of explaining too many things, Since I am a lone podcaster with no co-host, I'm like talking to the void, so it's just kind of, it's tricky to know who all is listening. Now, with that, if you don't know who Cave is, they're a major, like, bullet hell Danmaku type developer, and they're famous for things like Dodonpachi, Mushihimesema. One of my personal favorites is Muchi Muchi Pork, Death Smiles. They have several games out on Steam, and they've released out on console a bunch, and they do have arcade titles specific to Japan. But overall, awesome developer. What was my point with this? But yeah, oh, that's what it was. Go into like their library of games and talk about each game specifically, and obviously I'll have to play every single one of them, but you know, we'll get to that at some point. Or at least play 90% of them, hopefully. Or another one would be like Tohu Project stuff, who, just real fast, if you don't know who it is, it's a one-man indie developing team, developer guy from Japan who's mostly specifically only released in Japan, but, fun little note, holds the Guinness Book of World Records for being the most prolific single developer in the gaming industry. I don't know how many games he's developed. He's been doing it since like 95 or 96 or something like that, and he puts out like one or two games every year. It's pretty nuts. His stuff is amazing if you ever want to play that stuff. I only recently discovered him, like within the past couple years. Don't know why it took me that long. I think it's mostly because I don't really interact with the shmup audience online, you know, the shmup fans out there. So, you know, I'm just kind of slowly, I was just over the past 5 years, just kind of slowly discovering everything, you know, as things go on. Well, not really past 5 years. It's like over my entire life, I never really talked about shmups, but have been slowly discovering all the different developers, all the different franchises, and all the different stuff. Obviously, there was stuff I grew up with, like Gradius and Twin B and Musha on Genesis and the 19-4X series by Capcom, you know, like the really old school stuff. Oh, and Raiden, of course, you know, Truxton, that's a good one. But yeah, a lot of that kind of stuff, but that's just who I am. Give me a break. But now I'm more knowledgeable, so I actually feel like I could do a shmupcast. So with that in mind, I do have quite a bit of topics. And who knows, I might actually do the Video Game Book Club over here as well, if you know me from the Sensei podcast. And I honestly think a Video Game Book Club specifically on just shmups might be easier for me. And then we can make that its own episode as well. Be like, this is the book club episode. Jabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-boo. You know, that sort of stuff. I think I'm very excited about this podcast. I have high hopes, high feelings. Grow, my child. Anywho, yeah, I think I got my bases covered there. Enjoy the show. I'm saying that like the rest of it's pre-recorded, but I'm about to record it. Whatever. I'm probably going to be putting bumper over music over this. Whatever. It's that time. It's the news of the month. It is April of 2018, and this is the news for April of 2018. So, I actually have quite a bit of news here that I want to cover, and hopefully that fills up the rest of the time. But, just so you know, that was a weird sound that came out of my mouth. Just so you know, as of right now, I don't think my sources are that great in terms of gaming news, but, I mean, specifically for shmups, but for the most part, when the next newscast comes out next month, hopefully I have all my ducks in a row so I can actually get all the sources, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But just so you know, where am I getting most of my information? It's like places like the Shmups Reddit, obviously, you know, Nintendo Life, searching out on Steam, Shmup 'em All. Of course, you know, my French is terrible, so I'm basically, just to make things quick, for myself, I'm just like copy-pasting into a Google Translate, and hopefully I can, you know, decipher on what Google's trying to tell me. And that's basically where I'm getting my news. I'm also getting it from like other shmups forums, like, what was that one called? It was a big one, I think. Yeah, it's shmups.system11.org. I'll hopefully leave a link in the description below in the show notes. Let's hope I remember that. Go check it out right now. See if I remembered. If I didn't, you can yell at me out on Twitter, @sensei_pong. Either way, let's move on. So, Ikaruga is coming to the PS4. That's cool news. If you don't know what Ikaruga is, it's basically, you know, kind of a one of those classic bullet hell games. I don't have that much experience with the game itself. I know, shame on me. I'm a terrible person. But from the little bit I did play back in the day, it is definitely beautiful. I want to say it has some interesting, like, weapons mechanics in it. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head, but it is a classic, and a lot of people hold it in, like, the highest regard. So, what I'm really hoping for, before I get into that, where this news is coming from, it was a leak from the German's ratings board for a PS4 version. Now, I'm not sure if there's an actual release date set for this just yet, but if you haven't played Ikaruga yet, and you do own a PS4, keep a lookout on your PS store for that, because that, if you like, you know, your arcadey shmups, Ikaruga is definitely up there on the must playlist for most people out there. It's definitely a good game. Now, what am I personally hoping for? What this means? Now, I own a PS3. I don't actually own a PS4. But what I am hoping for is that this means that they might port it over to other consoles as well. So this would include, obviously, Xbox One and Switch. And I personally own a Switch. So I don't think the Switch couldn't handle it. I think it would be great if the Switch could. I think it could. I'm pretty sure it could. It's an old enough game. They don't have to add much to it anyways. Yeah, I don't know. It just maybe a straight port would be fine. Yeah, maybe some, like, online leaderboard support. That's all I'd really be asking for in terms of, like, an Ikaruga port for Switch. But, you know, being on the Switch, you know, I can just always flip it on its side and play in tape mode. That'd be fun. But that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it comes out to other consoles as well. So that's cool to hear. I'm great to see it. See Treasure supporting that and all that. I think it's Treasure, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just doing this podcast by the skin of my teeth. But, you know, it's a great classic shmup, and people that are first coming into the genre or, you know, have now gotten into the genre but haven't played it yet, it's great that now they have the option to. If they don't have, you know, a good enough PC or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, why they haven't played it yet, you know, or why they haven't played it before. It's just great to see it on every single console. I don't mind the idea of having, you know, great classic shmups being on every single thing out there. I like that idea. That's great. That's cool. So, good job on that for them. And hopefully it releases sooner than later, because I'm definitely excited. Who knows, we might hear something from E3 at that point, you know, a few months down the road. But that's what I'm hoping for. Moving on. Next topic. So, being a Switch owner myself, this is important news, and I don't know if you're a Switch owner, but maybe you are, or you're thinking about buying a Switch because it's kind of the hot thing right now, whatever. I was a day one buyer, so maybe I have a little bit of bias, you know, and being the handheld guy, I have a little bit of bias, I apologize. But this is important news, and I know it's old news at this point, but it's still important to just reiterate if you haven't heard it. And for some reason, you're only listening to this podcast as your main news source in terms of the gaming. So that'd be weird, because I don't consider myself the most reliable source. But to the point, apparently Switches are breaking because of third-party docks. Because of third-party docks. Primarily Nyko docks, Nyko-made docks, not the Nintendo-made docks. And what the dock is, if you don't own a Switch, it's a thing basically to help charge your Switch and hook up to the TV and blah, 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 you know, whee, just like that commercial with all the hipsters having their weird Splatoon party on the roof, you know, that sort of thing. But specifically Nyko docks. Now, why would people buy the third-party docks? Obviously, they're cheaper than Nintendo-branded stuff. So I can understand why someone would want to. I'm surprised I didn't buy one. I'm in one of the lucky few that didn't, which is weird because I do like my cheaper stuff. But now the thing is, what I found interesting about this whole thing was why it is. So basically what's been going down, let's say someone's playing their Switch, they have a Nyko dock and it's one of those cool portable ones or whatever, like one of the smaller ones that doesn't go in like a sleeve, they would charge it and they'd pick it back up and then it doesn't want to turn on. That's what bricking the system is, if you didn't know what that term was. But what's interesting is that some people have been looking into this, and Nintendo put out a statement. It was kind of what you would expect from Nintendo, you know, kind of maybe like their lawyers were like, you should say this, you know, that sort of thing. Where it was like, we cannot guarantee third-party equipment necessarily working. That's basically what they said. That's not quote by quote, but, you know, basically one of those kind of things. They only test with Nintendo products. And I don't expect them to test with every single third-party product. That's ridiculous. No company out there does that. But the interesting thing is that some people were looking into this on why. Because, you know, you'd think to yourself, well, it's just a dock, right? It's just like sticking an HDMI cable into something and hooking up to the TV. No, apparently not. Now, the thing that people have figured out is that the Switch's USB port is not completely compliant with industry standards, which means it's not necessarily compliant with Nyko docks. And with that, it's overdrawing the power by up to like 300% or something like that. I think that's what the numbers were, which obviously is a bad thing. You're putting way too much power into the Switch, whatever, and that completely messes up the subroutines or whatever's going on with starting up your Switch and the battery and all that kind of stuff, you know, the real technical programmy machine code that's going on well into the background of the OS. But with that, it basically breaks it and bricks it and stops it from opening up and stops it from starting up. So that is bad. Now, what can we learn from this? Don't buy possibly iffy third-party stuff. If you are a Switch owner, I know it's tempting to save you that extra $20, but just buy the Nintendo dock. Nintendo will probably come out with their own smaller dock at some point. I don't know when. I can't predict that. I'd say within like the next year and a half. I know I just said I can't predict that, but I'm just saying maybe within the next year and a half. We'll see. It really depends. I'm not even sure if they would, but no, I'm pretty sure they would. But just at this point, just get the Nintendo docks, because you shouldn't have any issues with that. They've done all their testing, and I just, from word of mouth from me, I have the Nintendo dock itself, and I haven't had any issues with startup. It always starts up just fine. I can play any game, put it into sleep mode, and pop it back up real fast, and play whatever I want as quickly as possible, as quick as a Switch is. So, as of right now, I wouldn't trust any third-party product that necessarily hooks straight into the system. Maybe you could trust, like all the third-party controllers, because that wouldn't be that big of an issue. That's not like messing around with the power supply or like starting and stopping the Switch or like hooking it up into the TV. The controllers aren't doing that. So with that, what's Nintendo been doing? They've been playing, as far as I've seen on Twitter, as far as I've seen, you know, in the news, they've been playing that PRHR game really hard and fixing people's Switches, which is good for them. Good on them. They don't want to look like the bad guys here, because a lot of people are, you know, getting their conspiracy tinfoil hats on with this one. But I don't think anything is going on. I don't think Nintendo saw this coming. I think it's just like a fork in the road. They don't want any bad press with the Switch. They want everybody to love it. Why would they do this if, you know, it just causes bad press? I don't think that's the case. I think it's just an unfortunate problem that arose. But, as I said, they are fixing people's Switches, so if your Switch does break, I would recommend going to Nintendo's website and calling up or emailing their HR. So, with that, something else that I found kind of neat, trying to get on people's good side, that Nintendo did was apparently someone called up the fix-it line on the back of their Super NES, and they sent it to Japan, to Nintendo's headquarters, and they fixed it. That's weird. Apparently they still support fixing Super Nintendos. I thought that was insane. I thought that support ended a long time ago. Maybe it's because of this whole Switch fiasco, but I thought that was funny that they were doing that. But moving on to the next topic of news, because it does affect shmups to some degree, but it's also Nintendo related, so it's a nice segue, is that Nintendo is closing down their Wii Shop channel, which makes me kind of sad. There's a lot of good stuff out there on the Wii Shop. But they also stated, and this is already passed, but you can't add any more Wii points to your account. But just so you know, the Wii Shop is closing January 30th of 2019. Now, what does this mean? If you have some money on there, go spend it on whatever, you know, whatever's out there. The Wii Shop channel has one of the greatest virtual consoles. So regardless of whatever you're into playing, the variety is there. Now, I do know that the Wii Shop is like 50% shovelware, but, you know, well, but it's probably higher than that. I'm giving them benefit of the doubt. Let's say 50%. 50% shovelware. But I do know there's some great stuff on there in terms of retro stuff. You could buy it legitimately, get the companies to know, hey, we're still interested in this franchise, you know, that sort of stuff. But I do know the Wii does have some good shmups out there. I want to say there's a version of Geometry Wars on there. It's a twin-stick shooter, if you don't know what that is. I would hope you know what that is listening to this podcast. And I want to say there might have been a Star Soldier remake or something like that, maybe. And maybe a version of Gradius on there, which is kind of neat. I don't really know. I don't never really got too much into the Wii Shop channel myself, but, you know, I was more into the handhelds at that time of my life. It was a weird, dark period of my life. We'll not talk about that. Legally, I'm not allowed to lol. But with that, it's sad news. So let's keep on riding this depressing train here and talk about something else that's closing down. Huzzah! PlayStation Plus support will end for PS3 and PS Vita as of March 8th, 2019. I know this is old news, but just in case you didn't hear it before, basically what that means is, you know, the PS Plus stuff where, like, you get a free game every month and, you know, special deals on games on sale or other games out there or whatever, you know, that's going to end for PS3 and PS Vita as of March 8th, 2019. And for me, that's personally kind of sad because I do own a PS3, and frankly there's some awesome shmups out there on the PlayStation Store. So if you're into that and you have one of the older consoles like the PS3 or the PS Vita and you want to fill it up with some good PS classics, doesn't matter what it is, I don't care, you know, I'm just going to say shmups because this is a shmup cast, but, you know, whatever it is out there, what do I personally recommend? I guess I'd recommend Gradius 5. I have that on my PS3. It's good. It's a good game. It's definitely good. It's if you like your, you know, Gradius stuff, the last generation is finally ending. That makes me kind of sad. But, you know, you can't always live in the past. Sad. Man, I just have all this, like, sad news, like, one after the other, outside of that Ikaruga thing. Because I'm looking at my notes right now, and it's Manticore, Galaxy on Fire. Okay, so if you don't know what Manticore Galaxy on Fire was, it was a game that was going to be releasing out on the Switch eShop. And I know it's not your top-down shooter or whatever, you know, like your vertical shmup or horizontal shmup. It's not your classic shmup. But what it looked like to me originally from, you know, the trailer, it got me excited because it looked like kind of a Star Foxy Wing Commander dogfight sim, or maybe even a rail shooter. I'm going to say more like a Wing Commander open combat sort of thing. But I was excited for it, and then it got delayed one day before the release on the Switch eShop. Now, personally, I don't mind delays, because usually that means they're trying to add stuff or fix things, and in the long run, we're just going to end up getting a better product. But what kind of irked me was it was delayed one day before the release on the eShop. And I was just like, guys, come on. Give me a two-week notice. That's the professional thing to do while you're working. You know, you give a two-week notice before you quit a job. Or, you know, if you're a renter, you know, you give the tenant, you know, a 30-day notice. Getting that Porky Pig going. But yeah, it sucked. But leave a comment down below if you're watching this out on YouTube, because I don't honestly know the Galaxy on Fire series. I did a little bit of research, but not a whole lot. I never played any of the previous games. Apparently it's originally like a mobile title, which I know for some of you out there it's very worrisome, but I have this gut feeling that, you know, give it a shot. You know, If it's better suited for other platforms outside of mobile, get away from mobile as soon as possible, you know, that sort of thing. But when I did do my research, the original series kind of looked to be like a strategic tycoon, maybe base building, empire building thing, kind of like Clash of Clans or a really watered down Galactic Civilizations. Now, I love my strategy games and I love my tactical games and I love, you know, that sort of like, you know, empire building tycoon game, you know, maybe even a city builder like SimCity or like Skylines, but ooh, it didn't look very good, honestly. It just looked like your regular mobile game where it's like really watered down, and when you play it, you just kind of want to play the real thing. And it was just like, please correct me if I'm wrong. Let Manticore be the Star Fox we've been waiting for years. Because frankly, I would rather have more flight battle sim than tycoon. Now, of course I do like tycoon games, as long as it's really good, you know. But the term tycoon is like the term simulation at this point. It's being thrown around way too much. So, you know, I can't trust any game that ends with tycoon or simulation without it more than like 50% of the time being like a meme game. But outside of that, the reason why it got delayed, the announcement they had on the Nintendo News line wasn't very good. It was just like kind of a big apology. It was like, I'm sorry. Hopefully we can, you know, get this out as soon as possible. We'll let you know as soon as we get it done. You know, I was just like, oh, come on, guys. At least give us a reason, you know. Say that you found some bugs that you wanted to fix and you wanted to the best play experience possible, you know, that sort of stuff. I don't know, though. I'm just seeing red flags like a No Man's Sky situation, Mighty No. 9, Atari Box, Coleco Chameleon. It's just worrisome. But anyways, I'm still excited for the game. Now, if you did pre-order the game, don't worry. You still bought the game, and you will get your pre-order as soon as it releases. But as of right now, there is no set release date. But regardless of that, I hope they know what they're doing, and I hope this doesn't mean, you know, serious problems for the game. I want to see them make a great game and put it out there and, you know, get the sales they deserve if it's, you know, a great game. So hopefully this turns out good. I'll let you know as soon as more information comes out. Moving on, let's finally get on to the happy news. Yay! Throw your confetti in the air, because this one was kind of exciting. It's not like really important shmup news or anything, but I thought it was really neat. So if you know me from my past podcasts, I've been kind of considering making my own game and putting it out on Steam or whatever. So, but you know, just I haven't given out that much information on what I'm working on, but like the project itself has like jumped from like several different things to several different genres, and it's getting more and more complicated. Now, originally I was going to do like a text adventure thing, because I do like text adventures. I love them. I love the classic stuff. And I was thinking, actually, well, you know, maybe that's too niche. That maybe the audience isn't big enough for that. Let's move on to something that makes more sense that I would still enjoy making. And I was thinking maybe a choose your own adventure game, like one of those choice of games where it's kind of like a visual novel without the pictures, you know. Make it a budget title. Make it like $3 or $2. Maybe even $1. Who knows? And then I was thinking, actually, no. Let's do something with a bigger audience. Something that I would still enjoy making or enjoy playing myself, you know, even after the fact. And I was looking into Unity, and I was looking into different types of games I could make. And then I came across this. This is like right up my alley. Apparently there's this thing called the Shmup Creator, and it's getting very close to a beta release. There is no announcement to when it's going to release, but according to its creator, Bulo, who I'm assuming, or Bulo Studios, who's the indie dev behind it, or indie dev team behind it, says it's very close to getting its beta release finally. What this entails, I'm not exactly sure, like in terms of like commercial availability, like what kind of licensing you'd have to pay for to use it in terms of making like a commercial game. But from what I've seen and from what I've heard, It's basically right up my alley because my programming ability is terrible. So what it is, kind of like a Mario Maker thing or like a Unity sort of thing where it's like really easy to use, where it's kind of like a drag and drop game engine, but specifically for shmups. Now, from the screenshots I did see, it looks to be really focused on Japanese-style bullet hells, but I don't care about that. That's still awesome. I still want to get this, but it looks great. I'll definitely have a link down below in the show notes to this, to the dev notes on all this. It looks great, and from everything I've heard, I'm really excited for this, because I would love to make my own little shmup and hopefully just get better at it, and then maybe release something out on itch.io, which I have released something out on itch.io. I don't necessarily recommend looking it up. I wouldn't say it's that great. It's basically just a remaster of an old PC DOS text adventure game. It was in public domain anyways. It was freeware, shareware, whatever, I think. Yeah, it was shareware. That's what it was. I don't charge for it. So maybe you should go play it if you like that sort of stuff. It's called, I think I called it Super Bombs Away Blast Edition. Something cheesy like that, because the original game was called Bombs Away. It was out of a PC mag, like from like 1981, maybe? I don't remember. I don't remember the year. But it was before my time. But according to the developer, what's holding him back from releasing it just yet is he still wants to work on some stuff with the UI HUD and some other little bugs and whatever, and he needs a translator for a French copy of the engine. Because little did I know, maybe like several months ago, but apparently shmups are really popular in France, or French-speaking countries, because I know there's a whole bunch of them out there. But if you do know your French and you are good at translating, maybe hit them up, maybe help them out. I don't know. Like I said, links down below in the show notes. But that's pretty cool. Yo, get hype for that. Hopefully it releases this year. Another bit of light news that I found on the Shmups Reddit, if you're kind of feeling a little bit competitive, is Judgment Silver Sword is the competition for April. And it's a friendly competition. It's not like a seriously, like, hardcore, like, I'm gonna get the highest and be the winner, you know, that sort of thing. But even if you're not good at shmups, or you're, like, very mediocre like me, give it a try, give it a whirl, if you own the game Judgment Silver Sword out on Steam. I think it's only $5 on Steam. And it actually comes with another game called Cardinal Sins, which was another WonderSwan release. Cardinal Sins is great. Because I do own the game, and I'll probably enter in my own scores there. But what it is that it's the winner, the first place winner doesn't actually automatically get something. It actually gives them a higher chance of winning the grand prize, which is a $10 Steam voucher. And it's, you know, like I said, it's just a friendly competition. So basically what it is that first place gets 4 tickets, second place gets 3, third place gets 2, and everybody else gets a consolation ticket. So with that, by the end of the month, all the tickets are drawn randomly, and one person gets a $10 Steam voucher. And for the most part, I think it's just kind of a fun, friendly competition to see how you match up against everybody else. It's pretty cool. I'm definitely going to start playing some Judgment Silver Sword very soon, just to rework my chops back into that game. If you are curious about how that game plays, it's a very old-school bullet hell shmup. And since it is a WonderSwan title, you know, graphically, I wouldn't say, you know, it's as pretty as Cave stuff, but, you know, it's still a very solid shmup, and it has some pretty fun boss battles. And overall, the gameplay is pretty fun. But yeah, linked down below in the show notes. Hopefully I remember all these links. Now, moving on to the next bit of news here. This was actually pretty neat. It's called Spookotron. That's spelled SPOOK-O-TRON. And it's a new game that hasn't been released yet, but they did run I think it was Indiegogo, or it could have been Kickstarter, but their goal was $5,000, and they doubled it by $10,000. And I know that's not much, so good on them, though, for doubling the amount. What it is, it's a new game that's going to be released for the NES and PC. And obviously, this is more for the retro people out there, but if you are curious, basically what the game is that it's a Robotron 2084 clone for the NES. And if you don't know what Robotron is, basically it's one of the first, like, major twin stick shooters, and it's like a classic 80s arcade game, and it's one of my favorite arcade games of all time, like definitely in the classic sphere. But that's actually, I think, where the term twin stick actually came from, because they actually had two joysticks, one for moving and one for, you know, shooting in eight different directions, and that's where the control scheme comes into play. The real fascinating thing about Spookotron, though, is that if you are familiar with the game, what Robotron had going for at the time, which made it hard to be ported to other consoles of its time, was that it would have like a bunch of sprites out on the screen. Like, I'm talking like 30 plus sprites. And even for the hardware at the time, that's a lot. But being an arcade cabinet, obviously it's way more powerful than any console out there. So, you know, they were able to do it. But the NES at the time couldn't. So you're probably thinking to yourself, well, how is the NES doing this? I don't know how they're doing it, but somehow, through some sort of like black magic programming, they figured it out. And it looks great, and it's got a Halloween vibe, like Halloween theme to it. So you're fighting your ghouls and ghosts and goblins. No relation to Capcom. I don't know. It was the first thing that came to mind. But I think there might be a mummy in there as well. But, you know, you're fighting, you know, Halloween-like monsters, and you're shooting them up. And just like Robotron, you do have, you know, people you gotta save and all that, and not let the monsters get to them. And if you save them, you get extra points. So, from the gameplay footage I've seen, it actually looks great. I'm not even sure if there's any flicker, which is pretty crazy, because, you know, the thing about the NES is that once you start having too many sprites on the screen, or shoddy programming, you start getting a flicker. And if you don't know what a flicker is, it's like basically the machine or the programming can't keep up with so many things going on at the same time. So, you know, if you know like your really old school games, you know, you get that flicker. Kind of like Pac-Man on 2600. Look that up if you want to burn your eyes a bit. I recommend not looking that up if you have a history of seizures. Anyways, this looks pretty cool. Hopefully it releases pretty soon. I'll update the news once I hear back from it. I'll let you know as soon as possible. But if you want to look it up yourself, links are down below in the show notes. Now, I mentioned them earlier in this podcast, shmups.system11.org, which is a shmups forum, recently posted their updated 2017 25 best shmups of all time. And I'm not going to go through the entire list. I'm not going to go through the runner-ups, because I don't want to take anything away from their forum. And I'd rather have people go to the forum if they're interested. But let me just say, they dodged a hellfire of bullets from the sensei himself, because I would have dropped my little pong right on their heads if Moochie Moochie Pork didn't make it on the list. And luckily it did, because, like I said, I'm a terrible person if you know that game. I love that game. That's the best game ever made. But yeah, it's a fun list to look it up. It's pretty cool. I will make a few notes, though. Obviously, Dodonpachi's on there. I'm really happy to see Gradius 5 make the number 11 spot. Ikaruga is number 10. There's some other great stuff on there, like R-Type. If you're probably familiar with the series if you know your retro stuff. But something else I forgot to mention. If you do like your Japanese bullet hells and you haven't played it yet, there is also Crimson Clover World Ignition, which is available on PC and Steam. So, go check that out. That was just some of the good stuff that's on the list. Obviously, a lot of cave stuff. I scrolled down a little bit. The list is very cave-heavy, and for the most part, they won the prize for being the most mentioned developer, which I'm not really surprised. They're a fan favorite. Cave definitely has their fanboys. There's a lot of people out there that'll be like, Cave's the greatest people in the greatest, blah, blah, blah. You know, yeah, whatever. And do note, at the number 17 slot, Dangun Feveron is on the list. We'll get to that in just a second. But another notable thing is that Strikers 1945-2 is on the list as well. And that's a beautiful game. It is available on the Switch, so go check that out if you have that. It's by Psycho, however you want to pronounce that. I'm pretty sure it's Psycho, because, That's how you pronounce it in Japanese. Anyways, go check that out. If you're interested, links are available in the show notes. Moving on to our next bit of news here. Some notable new game releases. Like I said in the little bit earlier, Dangun Feveron releases... My notes are terrible. Dangun Feveron has released out on PS4 and Xbox One. If you're not familiar with that, it's a mildly older, like, cave classic. But it is, from what I've seen from some people saying, is that it is available in Japan and North America, but not Europe. I'm not sure what's holding back the Europe release, but I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out soon or it's already come out already. But if you're into that and you like your cave shooters, go check that out. I never write down what the price is. You know, how much? Okay. It is $34.99 on the PS Store. So, yeah, it's a little bit pricey, but it is cave, so I know they can get away with it. So, people will still buy it because it's excellent. It's really good. But if you don't mind, you know, spending $35, I highly recommend it. It's a good game. Definitely if you like your cave stuff. Your cave, the, yeah. Is that coming out? Now I'm curious. Is that coming out on Switch? Because this would be a... No one's reporting that it's coming out to Switch, as far as I can tell. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, so someone said there's a rumor that it's coming out to Switch, but they doubt it. Now, I was just curious myself, because it would kind of give me an idea and kind of gauge what Cave's situation is with possibly porting things to the Switch. I wouldn't be surprised if they did at some point, but if they're iffy about it or if they're slow about it, it would just give me an idea of what to expect and what not to expect, not get my hopes up, you know, that sort of thing. I would love to see, you know, cave shooters out on the Switch, but we haven't seen anything just yet, so that's kind of unfortunate. But it is what it is, you know. Hopefully we do. Either way, if you do own a PS4 or Xbox One, it's definitely there. Now, another one that did come out, another new notable game release, which I did buy, is Tesla vs. Lovecraft. And that released out on Switch, Xbox One, PS4, and PC. And real quick, because I'm not going to go into super detail with this one, but I will go into detail just a little bit later with a different segment here. I am really, really enjoying it. And for what it is, you know, it's a pretty good budget title. It's $15, and for what you get, I think it's great. What is it anyways? It's a twin-stick shooter, kind of your overhead shoot-em-up. But the premise alone was just kind of fun in itself, and that's kind of what sold me, outside of just being a 10 Tons game. 10 Tons is a indie developer that developed Crimson Land from, like, years ago. I want to say it's been over 10 years now since the original Crimson Land released. It's been almost 15 years now, I think, since it first came out on, you know, the internet on PC. But 10 Tons tends to, like, really excel at, like, these top-down shooters. And Tesla vs. Lovecraft is definitely no exception. Like I said, it's a twin stick, so you're moving around in one direction and your other stick is aiming, and then you do have a trigger button, one way or the other. It's, you know, it's got that 10 Tons, you know, sticky film on it where just it kind of clings on to you and it gets really addictive. It has a bunch of perks that you can get. It has a bunch of, like, different weapons to choose from, a good, you know, a nice array of different types of enemies. But the premise is what sold me, and let's get into that. Obviously, from the name itself, Tesla versus Lovecraft, you're playing as Tesla and you're going against Lovecraftian horrors, because I know the storyline's not important, but if you do care, basically, you know, Tesla's giving some sort of presentation about the wonders of his technology and what he can do with it, and then Lovecraft comes in kind of wailing, being like, you don't know what you're dealing with. You're dealing with forces beyond, you know, what humans should be diving into. You don't know what you're getting into. And Lovecraft wants to stop Tesla, so he burns down his lab, and Tesla tries to, you know, get back at Lovecraft. But Lovecraft at the same time is trying to stop him, so all these, like, Lovecraftian monsters are coming out, like a Shaggoth and, you know, the old ones, like the fish people and all that kind of stuff. They're like the the small fries, but they come in like huge numbers. So, you know, usually the screen is like filled up with like 30 plus enemies all just going on at the same time. Each one does a different thing, obviously. You know, some of them just kind of swarm towards you, while other ones also swarm towards you but shoot things, or kind of, you know, shoot a beam of stuff, or like, I forget what it was called, but it's like this like flaming thing that flies, and like when you kill it, it burns the ground, so you can't walk there for a short period of time. But either way, it's pretty addictive, and I'm really loving it right now. I haven't gotten super far into it, but for the most part, it's definitely a spot-on game. And if you're looking for like that kind of nice kind of arcadey or like classic top-down shooter, Tesla vs. Lovecraft is definitely getting close to a must-buy if you are really into that genre. Or, you know, if you kind of play those kind of games casually, I would still recommend it only because it is so fun. Another one that released, which I haven't picked up, is Danmaku Unlimited 3. And I believe that's come out to pretty much everything at this point. Now, from what I've heard, though, and from what I've seen, it looks great. It's like your classic Japanese bullet hell Danmaku. And another thing I did hear about, which might be really interesting to you as a listener, is that it's very beginner friendly. So, you know, if you're kind of new to the genre, you know, it's not going to completely overwhelm you like, you know, maybe Ikaruga or a cave shooter. But I think it teaches, according to some people, it teaches, you know, the mechanics of how these sorts of games work, what you should be looking out for, what kind of strategies you should be playing out as you play these sorts of games. And apparently the replayability is definitely there. So that's great to see. Also, it's at kind of a budget price of $10. So, you know, for the kind of game that it is, honestly, you would kind of expect something of a higher price. But I don't think the developer felt comfortable doing that. Only because what kind of made me weary at first was that it's a mobile port. And, you know, I have nothing against games being ported from mobile to, you know, console or PC. As long as, you know, like I said before, it's one of those kind of things where it's like, it should really be on console instead of PC. I mean, instead of mobile. And, for, you know, something for like a shmup. You know, I've played some shmups on my phone before. I don't really like it because, you know, my thumb gets in the way on the screen. You got to be touching the screen. I want like tactile stuff. I want at least a gamepad, keyboard. Ideally, I'd have like an arcade hitbox, you know, with this joystick and the buttons. But I prefer, you know, tactile controls when it comes to this kind of stuff. So, for the most part, I'm okay with this coming over and things like this coming over from mobile, as long as they're excellent. And from all the different reviews, even the mobile version has gotten like really stellar reviews, and people are saying it's one of the best shmups on mobile. And some people were even, I'm quoting, you know, some people saying that it's the best shmup on Switch. I don't know, I haven't played it just yet, but we'll see if that's true, because I'll probably pick it up sooner than later. I'll let you know as soon as I do get it. But with that, moving on, back to PS4. Something that did release recently is Tempest 4000. Now, I do believe it's also going to be releasing out on the Xbox One. I'm not sure when. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But if you don't know, yes, Tempest from like years gone by, from Atari. And quick stipulation here. Yes, I know it's Atari in name only, and technically it's Infogrames, and I have my personal issues with them, and they're scumbags for all, you know, all things considered. But one of two things. I'm a huge fan of the classic Tempest series, mainly the original arcade version, or more playable, even though it is, you know, kind of a weird, obscure console, Tempest 2000 on the Atari Jaguar. One of the best games, if not one of, you know, one of the few must-own Jaguar games, if you're into that sort of thing. And it's a tube shooter, so it's a little weird, I know. It's like Gyrus, if you ever played that. So, like, instead of, you know, moving up and down on the screen, like, you know, 1942 or, like, Don Patchy or whatever you want to reference there, or like a fixed shooter like Space Invaders or Galaga, you know, you're actually moving on like this track around the screen. It's kind of really hard to talk about. The original Tempest was a vector-based game, so it gave like the illusion of 3D, but like these sprites would move up towards you on the tube, and you'd have to shoot them before they reached you. And if they did, you'd have to be careful of how to deal with them at that point. It wouldn't be necessarily game over once they reach, you know, your location, you know, on your track. You just have to avoid them and survive the wave, basically. Now, here's the selling point for me. Jeff Minter is actually developing it. Now, if you don't know who that is, he's a kind of a programming like guru legend of days gone by, but he did make Polybius out on Steam, and he also did Tempest 2000 and worked with Atari in the past. But over the years, you know, in the past recent years, like 15, 20, I don't know how many years, but he hasn't been on good terms with Atari in name only. So, you know, it was really, it's kind of like one of those things where people are like, please, Jeff, just make another Tempest game. And he's like, well, I can't technically because I don't own the rights, even though, you know, I made most of them. And I helped work on a whole bunch of Atari classics. I think he was also the same guy that worked on Defender, which is another great game, like, definitely the old ones. But we could talk about that a different day. Save that for the Defender podcast. Now, apparently, they've kind of made up a little bit, and Jeff Minter was hired back on with Atari to make, well, at least through contract, to help develop Tempest 4000. So, that's good news to see. That's great to see Tempest come back. And from everything that I heard, if you enjoy the original Tempest, you'll think this is the greatest thing in the world. And I recommend that you go look it up on YouTube and all that for, like, kind of a reference of how it looks like, because kind of graphically, in terms of the sprites, it looks a little bit like Geometry Wars. Geometry Wars, when I first saw it, I was like, man, this is just a Tempest. This is just the illegitimate child of Tempest and Robotron. But, you know, I was wrong. It's a good game. But, you know, that's graphically how it looks like. It looks like kind of like what Geometry Wars was going for, because I'm thinking that that's just what they, you know, they loved the art style of, you know, the vector games, and they were like, okay, let's do that, you know. So if you're into vector games, that kind of art style, Tempest 4000 is definitely up your alley. Go check it out. It's very flashy, very frantic once it starts going, you know. It's definitely one of them quarter eaters, definitely one of those, like, it has that real classic shooter feeler style. I can't talk. So let's move on now to the final notable game release that's coming out. I don't believe there's a set release date for this just yet, and I don't know if it's coming to PS4 or Xbox One, and it seems to be maybe just a Switch exclusive at the moment. But Akata Blue Type S, that's spelled aka the word 2, T-O, Blue, B-L-U-E, Type S. Now, what this is, it's created by this small indie company called Tanoshimasu, which basically in Japanese means let's have some fun, you know. But what really makes this game kind of stick out to me, and outside of what I saw in the gameplay and, you know, artwork and all that, it looks great. But here's the thing, it's headed by a previous Cave employee, Hiroyuki Kimura, who is the CEO of Tanoshimasu. Now, originally, this is, again, like a few other games I've already mentioned here. It was originally a mobile game, and on Android, it was $8.49 and $7.99 on iOS, and as a premier mobile game. And obviously, it didn't sell well because it costs more than a dollar, and people don't like buying money unless it's free to play and they have to spend $200 if it's on mobile to get anywhere in a game. I understand that, so I'm actually really happy to see this get ported over to a console. Now, this could mean that it might at some point come to the PS4 and Xbox One and PC, but they haven't announced that just yet. I think they've only announced that it's coming to the Switch. They also did announce that it is coming soon to arcades as Akata Blue Type R. So that's pretty cool to see. I'm excited to see that if I can ever get my hands on, like, a arcade cabinet of that and play it. I'm Not sure where I would, but, you know, still interesting to see. The gameplay itself, it looks to be like a really, like, very, like, cave shooter. I don't know how else to say it. It's, you know, your fast-paced, beautiful bullet hell to look at. So, it honestly, I think this would definitely be a day one pickup for me when it finally does release out on Switch. Now, they didn't actually say what the Switch price is going to be. I'm not sure what it's going to be. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was, you know, anywhere between $10 to $20. Seeing that the mobile version is $8.49 and the iOS version is around $8, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised to see it around the $10 range. I'm really hoping that it's $10, $15 at most, but I wouldn't be surprised that it's going to be $20. I don't know what it's going to be like. Who knows? I know they know, being a previous Cave employee, he could probably, you know, squeeze out some more money out of it and get a bunch of sales out of it. But if he really wants to hit, you know, the crazy sales numbers for being such a high-quality shmup from what it looks like, from what everybody on mobile has been saying, I would love to see that $10 price point, only because that would sell like wildfire, and it would easily become possibly the best shmup on Switch. So that's cool to see. If you are curious, it does also have Tate mode, which, let's just get this over with. If you don't know what Tate mode is, that means you can flip your Switch to its side and play vertically on the screen, which is nice because it fills up the whole screen. It actually feels like an arcade cabinet. That's how the game is supposed to be played. It looks great, you know, that sort of stuff. Now, I don't know. That's about it with news. So what else did I have? It just keeps going down, really. Wow. Okay. I have more news to talk about, apparently. This one wasn't really that important, so I'm not going to go into that much detail, but an indie developer announced an interesting game called That Tiny Spaceship out on Reddit that it's going to be releasing this summer of 2018. And I looked at the footage of it. No one's really commented on it. They were looking for some feedback. I'm not sure if I'm going to comment on it because I don't feel like I'd be the nicest person to talk to. Only because it kind of looks like a bad version of Asteroids, to be honest. Just, I don't know. What kind of made me really curious, though, is that they said it was a physics-based shooter. I'm not sure what that really entails because, I don't know, if it's like a physics puzzle, that's kind of cool. But from the gameplay that I saw, it just kind of looks like Asteroids. And, you know, you might say, oh, well, physics-based game, physics-based shooter, you know, that sort of hybrid, that's really neat. We've technically seen that before. I'm talking like 30 years ago with Gravatar. And if you want to talk about physics, I know that's gravity physics, and that's, you know, gravity mechanics and all that. And technically Asteroids to some degree, because things bounce off each other, you know. Or like you blow something up and it starts flying off in its own directions. But I think what they're saying is that, you know, different objects can bounce off other objects. Maybe, I'm not sure. They're saying they've been playing Ikaruga as like inspiration, but I'm not really seeing the Ikaruga in there. I'm still curious. I don't want to completely, you know, rain on their parade because I would love to be proved wrong here, but I'm not like super excited about this one. Either way, go check it out, maybe. If it's your thing, if it's your cup of tea, let me know how it goes. If the price isn't too crazy, I might pick this one up. I'm not sure. I think I still need to be sold on it. Moving on to something else, if you are curious, and you are another Switch owner, I'm sorry, this is a lot of Switch news. Dimension Drive has gotten another update, and this is pretty neat. So I actually recently picked up Dimension Drive. I haven't played a whole lot of it, but it's got this really neat mechanic. So it's a top, kind of a vertical top-down shmup, but you play it in, you know, your horizontal mode because you've got two different screens going on at the same time. And honestly, that kind of throws me for a loop. So, because the idea is that, spoilers on the story, but there's a evil empire space race that's trying to take over the empire. And then they discovered dimensional drives and are now able to jump between parallel universes and now are on like this hellbent, you know, mission to not only conquer your universe, but the entire multiverse. And they're going at a very fast rate. So that's the little mechanic, because the idea is that the two screens are two kind of parallel universes, and you're jumping back and forth between the two. Now, what makes this really hard is that there's also a lot of stage hazards. So, like, it's kind of maze-like, kind of like your Gradius thing, where it's like, you know, you've got asteroids, you've got walls, and you've got a bunch of enemies going off in both screens, one after the other, and then, like, you're hopping back and forth. And there's also some neat, like, level pickups that you can pick up for, like, achievements and unlocks and whatever and all that kind of stuff. And it's really neat. But it makes it really hard sometimes because, you know, you're so focused on that one screen, and then you feel like, oh no, I'm screwed, and you don't have a bomb mechanic, so you're like, oh, I'm screwed, hop on over really fast, but, oh, lo and behold, you just hopped right into some enemy fire, or you just hopped right into the wall. So with that, obviously, you know, if you teleport straight into a wall, you're going to explode, you're going to die. So that's what makes the game really interesting, and I'm loving it. Honestly, because it's kind of like that, like it really f's with your brain in terms of like your traditional shmup, because it's not your traditional shmup. And honestly, I would love to see how this game plays out in the later levels. I'll let you know how that goes once I actually sit down with it. But in terms of these updates, and this is really cool to hear because it's such a great game as is, I just like to see it get better and better over time. It's great to see the developers putting some support into this. But they're also adding online leaderboards, a new ranking system is there, and apparently they've also improved collision warning, they've improved the graphics, they've fixed the contrast between foreground and background, which was a minor problem I had. They've also improved the performance of the game, which is nice to hear about. I personally haven't come across any like major performance problems, but I haven't gotten super far in the game, so, you know, maybe that's not the case. Maybe I'll start having some performance issues later in the game if I don't update it, you know. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to update it because I want to see this new stuff. But, and they've also changed the logo. That's not that big of a deal. But it looks cool. It's in terms of, like, the updates we're getting. And I'll let you know how that actually plays out as soon as I actually start really seriously playing the game, because there's been some other shmups that have been eating up my time and other games that have been eating up my time. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. With that, we're moving into another segment called
Yo Sensei, what have you been playing?
So, like I said, I've been playing a lot of Tesla versus Lovecraft, and I don't really want to go into too much detail because I want to save that for, like, possibly an actual review podcast. So let's move on to the other thing that's not Dimension Drive, but go into Steridan, Binary Stars. So it's not, like, super new on Switch, and it's been out for a long time on Steam. But if you don't know what Steridan is, maybe I can sell you on this because I'm really enjoying it myself, and the price is like $13.99, so it's not like anything like crazy, but it's basically a roguelite horizontal shooter, and that alone just kind of sold me. Now, personally, I'm, in terms of like what am I better at, vertical or horizontal shooters, I'm actually better at vertical. I'm terrible at horizontal, but what sold me was that it's roguelite, and that, you know, if you don't know what that means, it's basically procedurally generated, and it's cool. It's really neat. I haven't actually gotten super far in the game because, like I said, I'm terrible at it. But there's a lot of unlocks I'm seeing, and a lot of, you know, different kind of weapon mixes you can do and different kind of strategies you can pull off. And the bosses are really kind of neat, and they mix it up well enough where it doesn't feel like it's getting stale. The only thing I might say might be kind of a drawback is the levels seem maybe just a little bit short, but honestly, I think that's kind of needed because it is, since it is procedurally generated, you know, different kind of like asteroids coming in and like different enemies flying in and different formations and whatever, you can't really memorize what you're gonna do, you know, or like get good at a level, because every level is technically different. You know, certain bosses obviously repeat themselves, but for the most part, it is pretty random. So with that randomness makes it harder. So it's like, yeah, obviously the longer you play the game, the better you're going to get at it, because you've gotten better at the controls, you've gotten better at the different enemy types, and you've got better at how to deal with different patterns from the bosses. But, you know, with that randomness, you're still not going through like that muscle memory of, you know, being like, okay, I know what to exactly expect from this level. It's still random. So with that, I'm actually super, super enjoying it. And it's got some great replay value to it. It's got that real, just one more game, man, kind of feel to it. So I'm really loving it. I guess the one thing I wouldn't say I totally dig is maybe the music. The music isn't bad. The music is pretty good, but you know, honestly, for this kind of game, I don't know, rock themes don't always fit for me for some reason. I'm not sure why, because it's like a real, like, kind of harder rock soundtrack. It's not bad. It's good for what it is, and it fits. And, you know, sound-wise, it's not, like, bad or anything. It's good. It all fits. Control-wise, if you're curious, the controls are super tight, just like Tesla versus Lovecraft and Dimension Drive. So if you're really, you know, picky about that, it controls absolutely fine. It plays great on the Switch. And with that, I haven't seen any like major like FPS dips or anything. That's what I wanted to talk about with Tesla versus Lovecraft. Now, most people I've heard talk about Tesla versus Lovecraft is that they haven't come across any like major like FPS problems, and everyone's saying that it runs great on the Switch. It runs great on the Switch. Maybe I've gotten farther than them, or maybe I'm just terrible at the game, because I got to this point where I had like maybe like 70, well, maybe like closer to like 50 different enemy sprites, maybe more. I have no idea. It was just like massive hordes coming in from all sides, because all I had was the freaking revolver. So, you know, I didn't have the extra barrel, you know, shooting two bullets at once or anything. I didn't have any special perks to that. I think the only perk I had was like running and regeneration. So I was just like, you know, freaking out as I'm, you know, teleporting across the screen. Oh, that's the other thing. The weapons are really fun and the perks are really cool. It's all Tesla based. So it's like, you know, electricity in kind of 1920s. You know, you get a Tommy gun at some point if you want as a weapon pickup. But with like that giant like hordes of monsters all around me, suddenly the boss pops up of that level. I'm just like, oh. And then with that, the boss like shot like this giant spray of like ghouls flying through the air. And with that, with like maybe, I don't know how many sprites are on the screen, I'm gonna say like anywhere between 60, maybe 80, I'm not sure. It's really hard to just like count that high when you're like at the heat of the moment and not paying attention, just being like, there's an empty space, there's a bunch of bad guys, don't go over there, let's try to run over here, you know, not get ourselves trapped. You know, I did come across a small frame dip. Now, I don't think it's that big of an issue, because it didn't actually mess me up. Now, frame dips can be an issue, but keep that in mind. I did, me personally, come across one small frame dip in the entire time I've played. But I think that's mostly just because there was just like 60 enemies. I don't know how many enemies were on the screen. Outside of that, it runs perfectly. So I'm not sure if it was just me. I'm not sure what was going on, but that was the one frame dip I had. The rest of that round and the rest of that fight, I didn't come across any problems. So maybe it was just that initial time when the boss was coming in and spraying that out. So who knows? But I did want to mention that. But back on Steridan, I haven't come across any frame dips. Now, moving on to another shmup-related thing I have been playing on the Switch is, a little bit earlier than all this, I did pick up Aqua Kitty UDX, and it's actually been a game I've been keeping my eye on for quite a long time. never really pulled the trigger on. It's been available on Steam for quite some time, and basically what it is, it's a Defender clone, but updated with new graphics and different things and new features and all sorts of stuff. Basically the Defender clone we've been wanting for years, if you're a Defender fanatic like me. But if you don't know what the how Defender plays or Aqua Kitty plays, basically it's a horizontal kind of free roaming shooter, kind of like Fantasy Zone, where you have to survive these waves and shoot all the different enemies. There's a bunch of different types of enemies that pop up, and they get bigger and badder as time goes on, as you would expect. There's some fun power-ups too, which wasn't in the original Defender, but what the defending aspect comes into play is that you're this kitty cat, and you gotta protect all the other kitty cats down underwater, mining for 100% fat whole milk from mines. I'm not sure why they're getting milk out of a mine underground. It doesn't have to make sense, because for the most part, the game is super fun. You get like these aliens coming down and aliens flying through the water, and if you're not careful, the big objective of passing a level is just making sure that at least one miner survives. If you have more miners survive, the more bonus points you get. So, like, these aliens would pop up and, like, come down, and then come down to the milk miner and pick them up. And then you have a little bit of time to save them, because they're slowly coming back up, and then you lose them when they disappear off screen up in the air outside of the ocean, because you're flying, quote-unquote flying, manning a submarine underwater, so you can't go up out of there. But if you shoot them before they, you know, leave the screen, the little kitty cat miner floats back down to the ground, and they're fine. So that's good. Good stuff. Playability-wise, it runs great on Switch. It runs great. It's just, it's fun to play, and now that I know that this plays great, I'm pretty sure that the PC version runs great as well. And I wouldn't imagine there would be any problems on PS4, Xbox One. So, because obviously they're the more powerful, hard, you know, consoles out there. So, if you're into some, like, nice, classic, retro, arcadey fun, definitely pick up Aqua Kitty UDX. It also does have a survival mode, which is endless. So, if you're into that, go check that out. In terms of shmups on PC I've been revisiting, I've been revisiting Perfect Cherry Blossom, which is a Tohu game. So, haven't played a whole bunch as of yet, but I played a little bit, you know, years ago and all that kind of stuff. But it's a fun game. It's great. It's your classic Japanese bullet hell. So, it's not as fast as cave games. I would say maybe it's on the slower end, but it's definitely not maybe a beginner game. But if you don't know what that is, go check it out. Perfect Cherry Blossom. Tohu, if you're not familiar with the Tohu Project stuff, is spelled T-O-U-H-O-U. Now, don't let the graphics necessarily fool you. The gameplay is some of the best gameplay you'll ever come across. So, yeah. Go play that. So, yeah. I think that actually is going to make an episode. Now, just so you know that I did actually cut out a little bit of stuff here at the end, and this is actually being recorded a little bit afterwards, because I was thinking to myself, look, this is supposed to be a mini pod, and yeah, I know I'm hitting a little over the hour mark now, but for me personally, an hour-long podcast is pretty short, so I'm actually doing pretty good. When I finally do come out with these newscast mini-pods, hopefully they start hitting that 45-minute mark, and probably hopefully float around that hour mark, because I don't want to just be listing off the news and then, you know, just calling it a day for an episode. I want to kind of do the news and put in my own two cents, give you my own little commentary on what I kind of read on the situation, or kind of editorialize, kind of be a commentator, if that makes any sense. If you have any personal notes you would like to give me, if you're watching this out on YouTube, please leave a comment down below. Or if you'd like to leave a review on iTunes, please do so. Any stars are welcome. If you're listening to this out on Stitcher or Android devices or whatever, I don't believe I'm on SoundCloud. I'm not sure. Probably set that up. I don't know. I don't go through SoundCloud, so that is what it is.
But if you do leave a review on Stitcher, more than likely I'm not going to read it, only because I don't usually go to Stitcher, so, yeah, whatever. But if you are listening to this as an audio podcast, go check out the YouTube channel over at youtube.com/MrSenseiPong. But if you're watching this out on YouTube, this podcast is free to download out on iTunes, Android, and Stitcher. All these notes are down below in the description. I'm also out on Twitter at Sensei_Pong. Now, with everything considered, I didn't actually cover some topics I actually wanted to cover. Kind of like, what are my personal favorite shmups, just so you can kind of get to know my personal tastes a little bit better when it comes to this sort of thing. Also, I didn't really go into detail on what games I'm playing outside of, you know, what I call Shmupland. So, you know, things like Disgaea 5 or Fire Emblem Warriors or, you know, give or take, whatever it is. Just different things. Because I play a lot of games outside of just shoot 'em ups in general. Anywho, stay tuned, because that episode should be coming up within the next couple weeks. Within the next week. Let's just say week or two. Something like that. I'm not sure. It's a weird time of day for me to record. It's like I'm actually awake, so I'm more likely to ramble. So I'm going to stop myself now. Hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And tell your friends. Go share it. In the meantime, thread the needle and kill it with fire. It's the Pong sending out. Like and subscribe.